Good morning. Happy Easter. I'd like to welcome everyone to Jenkins Church. If we have any first-time visitors, welcome to our church this morning. We'll wait just a few more minutes so everybody can be seated, and then we'll get started. Let's go ahead and do announcements. Do we have any announcements this morning? Miss Sherry.
If you go Saturday after next, the 21st is the barbecue. We're going to start sending out the bulletin boards, the sign-up sheets this morning. We need help setting up, taking down garbage. Every hour or two, different people serving. We need desserts to get with the plates that day, and we also need desserts to sell in the booth that night. So I'm going to pass one of these around to each section.
Okay. Any other announcements? Yes, Mr. Chase.
Wednesday, we have our group call them the retirees, that's not the case. Anybody that wants to come, you can come. You'll be here by 11:15. Part-time over, going down to Henry Horton.
Okay. Wednesday, 11:15 for Henry Horton lunch. Any other? Yes.
The young adult class and high school class will be meeting upstairs today in high school classes.
Okay. If you'll please register your attendance, I think the registers are in the pews. Please. Okay, if there are not any more announcements, let's take a moment to pause to prepare our hearts and our minds for worshiping the Lord this beautiful Easter morning. Amen. Do we have any prayer concerns, prayer requests this morning? Deborah. Okay. If you please also write your prayer request on a pew card and put them in the offering plate so we can make sure they get on our prayer list. Any other prayer requests? Yes, Mr. Schaefer.
My wife, Angie, she's not here this morning because she couldn't be. We're not sure what's going on with her, but she did fall a couple weeks ago, and now we're thinking that maybe it has something to do with that. So we're going to deal with that tomorrow for sure.
Okay. Any others?
I'm just asking you guys to keep my aunt, my family, there. And my aunts are in the hospital with cancer. They expect her to live sometime recently soon. We're going to be traveling to Florida this weekend. So if you could just keep us in your hearts. And I know we were praying for her salvation, and she was saved last week, so praise God for that.
Joy, I have so much of my family with me, and prayer that the guys will get back to Pennsylvania safely when their travels later this week.
Okay. Well, any others?
One is, this week is our National Rescue Commission turning to go with the worship there Thursday, April 12th, I believe. We meet here at 5:30. If any of you are willing to join us for prayer support, just for support. And the choir and praise band are leading the worship at the National Rescue Commission. Last time we had great experience. I don't know how much they benefit from us, but we do a lot. It's really inspiring to see God at work. And my second prayer request, one time ago when we had the praise band release CD release party, there was a lady who came and we ministered to her through prayer. She's going through a really, really tough divorce, and her kids, three boys, the youngest is two, when it was last year, by custody, all the kind of trials, I'm not sure about all the details. They were all taken from her, and she's trying to battle that for a year. She did not see her boys for a year now, in March. And she has another hearing April 11th, which was postponed so many times because somebody did not show up in the court. And so it's really, really heartbreaking, and for her, she is asking to pray if you lift her up April 11th when she's gone.
Let's pray. Gracious God, Holy Father, we come before you today with thankful hearts. We thank you, Father, for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we come to give praise and glory to your name, to remember all of the wonderful things that you have done for us. And Father, this morning we want to remember the power of the resurrection. Lord, to know that you are God of all gods, King of all kings. You reign supreme in majesty and power and might. And Father, we give you praise and glory. We thank you that you have shed your love abroad in our hearts. That you come and you make your home, your abode within us. And by your grace, we have a new lease on life. And we thank you, Father. We need it so desperately. And we thank you this morning. And Father, for these prayers that have been lifted up. Each of these individuals that are in need. And so many on our prayer list that we weren't able to mention this morning, but they're there and we see the need. And so, Father, we remember them now. And we pray for them. And we ask, Lord God, that you would move mightily in their hearts and their lives. And, Lord, that you would comfort those who are experiencing loss. That you would be with those who are in need of healing and restoration, Father. That you'd bring your power to bear in their lives. And Father, that you'd restore lives and relationships. And Lord, we give you praise and glory. We thank you. For you are our God. That same resurrection power is at work in our lives every day. Available to move in us, to heal us, to touch us. And we thank you for it. And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' holy, blessed name. Now help us to pray the prayer that you have taught us as your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
stand and join me for a call to worship? Give thanks to the Lord. Sing songs of victory. Shout the good news.
Jesus is risen. Christ is risen.
Open the gates of righteousness.
Enter in and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Hallelujah! Rejoice! Christ is risen.
Before we do a chorus.
Talked last Sunday about this was Holy Week, and this was a very special week in the life of Jesus. And you know that this morning Christ is alive. He's been alive in my heart for many years. And, okay, coming back here. And you know that Jesus spoke to the Did you know that Jesus spoke to the disciples? And you know what he said? He said to all mankind, "Peace be with you." That was what he said numerous times after he left the tomb. Peace be with you. Peace be with all of you this morning. Feel it in your heart. He's here. Boys and girls, Jesus wants in your heart to let him there. Peace be with you. Now I have something, and I'm so afraid I don't have enough, I'm afraid to count. I overdid, and I didn't overdo enough. We're going to do the jelly bean prayer this morning. Has anyone ever heard the jelly bean prayer? Okay. Well, now listen to me. This is very significant. And thank you, Amy, for finding this for me. I have you jelly beans in here, and they're all significant. Red is for the blood he gave. Green is for the grass he made. Yellow is for the sun so bright. Orange is for the edge of night. Black is for the sins that we make. But white is for the grace he gave. Purple is for his hour of sorrow. Pink is for a new tomorrow. I see lots of pink this morning. A handful of gel beans, colorful and sweet, is a prayer, a promise, a loved one's treat. Happy Resurrection Day. Okay, all I want you to say it with me. I want you to say Happy Resurrection Day. Okay? One, two, three. Happy Resurrection Day! Very good. Miss Betty, do we have a song?
I like the purple one, please.
Excuse me. Okay, I want you to stand right here because there's too many of us together around the piano, so you can sing out of the audience. We're going to sing Jesus Loves Me, and I think everybody knows that song. Everybody look this way.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Go back to your mom. Only mom knows whether you can eat them or not.
Our offertory sentence is taken from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. If our ushers would please come forward.
Thank you. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloth lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together by in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must arise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star?
Take away my shame.
And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God."
No guilt in life, no fear.
Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord.
The gates and doors were barred, all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gates began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. But the stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, and John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Now something strange had happened there, what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, and then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything that I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, wouldn't be the same. Suddenly, the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that shone from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear that I'd ever had just melted into peace. He's alive, he's alive. Heaven's gates are open and wide. He's alive.
going.
Praise God. Praise God. He's alive. I mean, we have heard the gospel message today. And we've heard so many different accounts of how they witnessed the fact that He was alive. And so I just want to talk about Him again. I want us just to think about the number of times that Jesus appeared to people, His disciples in particular. But the very morning of His resurrection, when they went to the tomb and the stone had been rolled away, Mary was one of the first ones there, according to John's gospel. And she saw that He wasn't there. The disciples, Peter, John, they were at the tomb. They saw that Jesus wasn't there. As a matter of fact, Mary was the one that went to get them and tell them to come once she realized that He wasn't there. And they were the first ones, I think, to step into the tomb, according to John's gospel. And they saw the garments laying there. They saw the linen cloth. And it was just laying there. It wasn't like somebody had stole His body, wrapped. It was like somebody had gotten undressed, had taken off their burial clothes and left them laying there, and walked out. You know, the Jews were concerned about this whole deal. They were so concerned that they pleaded for a Roman guard to be set outside the tomb. Because they thought, you know, we've heard that His disciples believe He's going to raise from the dead. What we need to do is we need to set a guard out there. Make sure nobody steals His body away. If they steal His body away in the middle of the night, we'll be in trouble. It'll be worse than when He was alive. And so they set the guard to stay out there all night. Now, you don't roll that stone away without waking the guard. But it was rolled away, and Jesus was gone. And they witnessed it. John and Peter and others, they ran back to tell the other disciples and to let them know. And it was Mary then that stepped into the tomb to see it for herself again. And she was sorrowful. She was weeping because He wasn't there. She didn't know yet that somebody else, maybe somebody who wasn't of the disciples, had done something. They still didn't know for sure. They weren't running back to say, He's alive. They weren't running back to say, He has risen from the dead. They were running back to say, He's not there. His body's gone. The stone's rolled away and He's not there. She looks inside the tomb and there's two angels. And they start speaking to her. And they have a conversation. And then she looks around and there's a gardener standing there. And he's talking to her. And in the midst of their conversation, she doesn't recognize that it's Jesus at first, but then He calls her by name, Mary. And she knows this is Jesus. She realizes that it's Jesus. We just heard it. And then she leaves and she goes back to tell the disciples, because this is what Jesus said to her. Jesus said, "Don't touch me yet. Don't handle me. I've not yet ascended to the Father, but go back and tell them." And so she went back and she told him that God had raised Jesus from the dead. He's alive. I had a personal conversation with him. They didn't believe her. So, just like Sam was singing in the song, they're in that room and they're locked in the room because they're still in fear of the Jews. They're in fear that they would be found. And so they're secretly meeting in this room, locked in. And Jesus comes walking into the room through locked doors. Just appears in the room. Peace be unto you. It's Jesus and He's there. Thomas isn't with them at this time. But Jesus is talking to His disciples and He breathes the Holy Spirit into them. And the Scripture says a week later, they're in the room again, locked in. And Jesus comes into the room again through locked doors. This time Thomas is there. See, Thomas, because he wasn't there, he said, I don't believe you guys. They're all testifying. Jesus came into the locked room. He's, I don't believe it. I won't believe it unless I touch the nail scars. And so, sure enough, Jesus comes walking into the room a week later. This is all recorded in John's Gospel. And He says, Thomas, come here. Touch my scars. Feel this. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. He believes. He has experienced the risen Lord for himself. And that brings us to our scripture this morning. John chapter 20, verse 29 through 31. Then Jesus told them, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not yet recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Praise God. We're not even told all the times that He appeared to them. But we do know that He appeared to them after this time. We're told again in John's Gospel that He appeared to them at the Sea of Tiberias. And this is where it gets really interesting. Because it's here at this point that the Scripture just begins to tell a narrative about how Simon was sort of looking out over the water and he said, you know, guys, we ought to go fishing. And it says that the sons of Zebedee and Nathaniel and Thomas and I think there might have been one other maybe, they all decided to go with him. And they went down, they got in the boat, and they went fishing all night. Came back the next morning, and they didn't have anything. Didn't catch a single fish. But there's a man standing over on the shore, and he says, catch anything? No, not a thing. Fished all night. Well, cast your nets over to the right side of the boat. And they did. And they brought in they were overloaded with fish. The moment that they began to pull the nets up and they could tell that it was overloaded, Scripture says Peter knew exactly who it was that was standing on shore. As a matter of fact, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he jumped out of the boat and swam, walked, however it was, and made his way to shore to be with Jesus. Now, Jesus had a fire going. He started a campfire. Isn't that cool? The risen Lord started a campfire. He's already got fish cooking on the fire. I mean, He's got a meal prepared. And he says, come on over here, guys. Bring some of your fish. The scripture says that they caught 153 fish, and yet it didn't break their nets. I mean, you know, we're not talking about, I mean, we're talking about guys who are hauling all this in on their own strength. 153 fish would be a load. So he's already got fish cooking, but here's the deal. Before I tell you about the meal, let me tell you this. John's gospel is the one that records earlier when Jesus was looking for disciples. There was this guy named Simon Peter, and Jesus goes in, down, gets in the boat with him and goes out. And says, cast your nets over here. See, this has happened before. And so when Jesus does it this second time after the resurrection, that's why Peter knew who it was. Here he is. He's doing it again. The same thing he did when he called me to be his disciple, he's done it again. He's here. He's alive. This is Jesus. Jesus has got fish cooking on the grill, and he bends down and he says, guys, he says, here, have some fish. Bring your fish over here. Let's put more on. We're going to stay here a while and eat. But you take some of the fish and the bread that I've prepared for you. And he begins to hand them fish and bread. What do you think their minds went back to? The 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000. Besides the women and the children, both times. Wow. All of a sudden, right here in this one appearance of Jesus, he's just slamming them. I mean, with remembrance of who he is. The one who feeds the masses. The one who called them to be disciples in the first place. And now, he stands Peter up and he says, Peter, do you love me? He says, yeah, you know I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. Well, tend my lambs. Peter, do you love me? And I think the scripture, you know, indicates that Peter was, you know, it troubled him that he had been asked the third time. But Peter had to realize, maybe not at that moment, but moments later, he'd realize, you know, I deny the Lord three times. And three times, he commands me to feed his sheep, to tend his lambs. He restores him right back to the place where he'd always been. The man who denied him three times. Man, praise God. What a wonderful encounter. This is the risen Lord that's having this kind of intimate encounter. There was another encounter that I didn't tell you about. This was before he actually appeared to his disciples the evening of his resurrection. He had already ascended to heaven, had spent time with the Father in heaven, but he had come back down to earth and he appeared to two men who were walking on the road headed to Emmaus. And he began to talk to them. They didn't know who he was, but he was having this conversation with them. And finally, they said, you know, we're going to stop here, and this is where we're going to spend the night. We'd like for you to come in and to eat with us. It's getting close to evening. And he comes in, and he sits down to have this meal with them. And it's in the midst of the meal, the very beginning of it, that their eyes are opened, and they know it's Jesus, the risen Lord that they're having this meal with. And the scripture says he disappeared. Why? He had an appointment with his disciples in that locked up room. He had another place he needed to show up. So many different people, so many different places where he appeared to them. So many different things that he had to say to them. And Jesus didn't just show up and it was just some kind of scary appearance. But he'd actually have time with them. And the scripture says that he would talk to them about the kingdom of God. He would actually take time. The resurrected Lord would appear to them and then begin to teach them just like he did when he was with them on earth. Telling them about the kingdom of God. Did you know, we often talk about the Great Commission. Did you know that it was the resurrected Lord that delivered the Great Commission? Praise God. Acts chapter 1. So awesome. Acts chapter 1. This is verse 3. After suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. This is verse 4, chapter 1. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. That was the last. For 40 days, he kept appearing to them over and over again. Not just one, two, or three times, but so many times that John says, there's not even enough room for all the books to record all the things that Jesus said and did. He just wanted to tell us enough that we would see and understand that Jesus is the undeniable resurrected Lord, raised from the dead, conquered death and the grave, conquered the sin that oftentimes loads us with guilt and shame. And he says, "I want to take it from you." And he offers us life and life eternal. We've talked about these proofs this morning. We've talked about the many different resurrection appearances of Jesus. Not all of them, but many of them. But this last thing that he said to them before he went into heaven, before they saw him ascend for the last time: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses." See, I'm thinking that the last thing that he had to say to them had to be one of the most important things they could ever hope to hear. And what he said is that even though I'm ascending into heaven, I'm leaving the Holy Spirit with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to come into your heart and life. He's in essence saying, "This is me living in you, staying with you here on this earth to guide you, to lead you, to counsel you, to comfort you, to direct you, to help you to live an abundant life, a life that's free from many of the trappings of this life. And yet, he says, you're going to have trouble in this world. But don't fear, for I'm the overcomer. I've overcome the world." This is the good news of the gospel. I'm going to ask our musicians to come for our closing, and we're going to sing again. We're going to stand. And this altar is an area for ministry. It's just an opportunity for us to say once again to the Lord, "Father, I need you. I believe in the resurrected Lord." Notice he said, Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Praise be to God. We're sitting here this morning, and every one of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ have believed having not seen. You're blessed this morning. I invite you to come to receive the blessing anew this morning. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, come today. Call on His name. We'll pray with you. Walk with the Lord afresh and anew. Be counted as one of His disciples. As one who says, yes, I believe. You are my Lord and you are my God. I'm going to invite you all to stand as we sing this closing hymn. We thank You. We thank You for the blood of the Lamb. We thank You, Father God, for the power of the resurrection. As we go from this place today, lead us, Lord, in the power of Your Holy Spirit. May we be Your witnesses. May we share Your love. May we walk in Your grace and Your mercy. Father, we thank You this morning for the blessing. May we go be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.